The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
I got that sauce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have you thought about expanding and helping other people design their tiny homes and figure out how to acquire them and things like that?
I've thought about it, but being self-aware, I really don't like working for people. And there's a freedom associated with, you know, not having an expectation to deliver on that. But I also don't want to limit myself. So it's still something that I think about, because there's a nonprofit in Alabama that reached out to me. And they want to bring me on as a consultant to design one of their spaces.
Okay.
So I said, I'm open. We're actually scheduling meetings right now. So it's not something that I want to make a career out of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that next year that I wouldn't be a full-time interior designer.
Yeah.
I would have to do it my way. But who knows what the future looks like? And I think I'm kind of good at it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, man, there's a lot of different directions you can go in it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think even the consulting side, it's like, there's not, maybe not necessarily an expectation of you going in, picking stuff, and like, you're just giving what your opinion is and they can kind of do with it as you will. So it's almost like you're testing the waters a little bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll find that the consultation is what you're comfortable with, as opposed to taking on the design responsibility mm-hmm. and all those things. But that's good, man.
You hit on consulting. So I have started to do some consulting. I launched, you know, I have a Calendly, know what I mean? Where people, and it's on my Linktree, where people can hit me up, and I've done like four or five, and it's cool. Like if that could be like a full-time thing, I would definitely do that. I think that, I've paid people to, you know, to consult before I left my job. I paid somebody from TaskRabbit, to put together an IKEA, it was something from IKEA. He was charging $100 an hour, and I just wanted to pick his brain. So when he got to my house, I said, "Hey, I don't need you to build anything. I just want to talk to you. How did you get to like $100 an hour on TaskRabbit?" He's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just want to talk." And so he put his tool down, and I said, "But I built this. I built this. I installed that." I said, "Do I have the skills that it takes to do what you do?" He says, "I can't do any of this. Like, I just put together IKEA furniture." And I'm like, "And people pay you $100 an hour? He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "All right." So that was like actually confirmation that, you know, me submitting my resignation, if things didn't work out with the short-term rentals, that I had the skills to make money, you know, picking up odd jobs on TaskRabbit. I never actually did that. But on the consulting side, I paid him. He thought he was coming to put some furniture together, but I just wanted to pick his brain.
Yeah.
And so now I realize that there are people who want to pick my brain, and I'm more than happy, you know, I'm more than happy to sit down and let them ask me questions about Airbnb or tiny houses. Like, I mean, I think that people should definitely invest in that, right? If somebody is doing something that you want to do, you know, it's cool to say, "Hey, can I take you out for coffee?" Mm-hmm. But I think you would get a better response if you're like, "Hey, if somebody doesn't have, you know, a calendar set up, you know, ask them, you know, how much, you know, would it, you know, can I pay you for 30 minutes to an hour? to really, you know, to talk to you about something that you're doing and what you want to do. And if I could pick something to do full time, I would just do consulting. Yeah. I would say, man, screw this Airbnb. Talk to me. for real.
Yeah, love it, man. So how much are you bringing in on average these days a month from both of the tiny homes?
Just Airbnb?
Yeah.
I would say on average, 6,000. Last year was the first year that I did it full time. Mm-hmm. And I think Airbnb, I think it was 60 something. I don't remember the number offhand. It might have been 69. Mm-hmm. I also block off a lot of days.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about full occupancy,
right,
or even, you know, maximum nightly rate. The industry says you want to be 80% booked versus 100% booked. And the industry says if you're 100% booked, then your pricing is too low. But for me, I block off a lot of time because I've got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I haven't maximized it. But from a theory standpoint, also want to mention, I had a long-term tenant who moved out last year, in the studio.
Right.
She moved out September. So she was paying $1,000 a month.
Right.
So
right.
With her and the Airbnb, we'll say, $7,000 a month just off the backyard with my mortgage right now is $1,600
because
I refinanced that HELOC back into the house. So my mortgage is $1,600, and off the detached garage and the two tiny houses, we were, you know, $7,000 would be an average month. Not even aggressive with it. I've never tried to be booked 30 days.
Yeah.
So now that the studio, I don't know if you want me to speak on
Let's
that.
Let's talk about it.
So that tenant moved out. Right. I had always from 2014 until then, I always had a midterm tenant in there.
Yeah.
She was there for 4 years. Jessica, best tenant ever. She moved to the East Coast and I'm like, oh, we can put this on Airbnb.
Yep.
But now that I got this sauce from the first one to the second tiny house, you know, generating that media response, I'm like, okay, now let's do it again. So, I went in and converted that into like a theater / spa vibe. I got this 86-inch TV, and then I got this like open format layout with an all cement shower and deck with this tub where the tub is right next to the bed. You get out. There's literally no privacy. So when people book, you know, I'm hoping that they're a couple, right?
Yeah.
Because everything is straight up open. Yeah. Open layout. And the goal for that one was like the last one. Like, I want people to not only book, but I want press to come in and ask about it. Mm-hmm. And it's already happening. So now we're looking at theoretically $9,000 a month from the backyard. I just launched that one this month. We're still in July, right? I just launched it and the calendar's filling up. I launched it at a very affordable price. And, you know, you got to get your calendar filled up and you got to get those good reviews. So I kind of go above and beyond with like extra amenities and like more drinks and stuff. So now we have three spaces on the Airbnb platform that I want to say an average month should be $9,000 a month. And you know, that changes. This has changed a lot, even from an operational standpoint. Like, can you manage three people checking in and checking out on the same day?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be working that hard? How much are these Lysol wipes costing me per turnover? How many hours am I putting into this? Does it still make sense to do these minimum two night stays, or does it make sense for me to say 7 day minimum and let me focus on my consulting business instead of turning over these places? I feel like I'm a glorified cleaner, right?
Yeah.
Cause cleaning is the backbone to the short-term rental industry. Like I'm cleaning and doing laundry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that all of my time is consumed. We're talking about maybe 12 hours a week of actual direct, you know, labor, which is, you know, I'm not going to complain about that, but, I want to monetize my mind and teach people how to do this. I think that's a better, way for me to scale. I don't want 100 tiny houses. I would like to get into, you know, more content creation and more showing people that, hey, I bought this cheap house. I got these cheap tiny houses. This is what I do full time now. I'm not rich. I'm comfortable. I still eat filet mignon. I flew here first class. That's not a flex. But I do like leg room. And I can afford an extra $100 on the ticket just off of my backyard. I'm not one of them people to be like, hey, come and learn this so you can make the money that I'm making. Because I'm, you know, it's not that. It's more so the freedom of time, the freedom to be creative. This house hacking has allowed me to consider things that I never would have considered. Now I'm thinking I can be an interior designer. I can be a consultant. I can, you know, create content about tiny houses. Is Netflix going to hit me up so I can do a tiny, you know, be the tiny house, the house hacking, you know, show? Or can I can produce it myself. I don't need Netflix. I have this $1,600 mortgage. That's the kicker right there. That first, the house, you know what I mean? Knowing that if even if this doesn't work out on Airbnb, the market where I live, I can rent each space out for $1,500 easily. So that's $4,500 right there. And my mortgage is still $1,600, right? That really allows me to take risk. Like, and they're not even really risk because I still got groceries and my mortgage is still paid. And now I have these midterm, long-term tenants where I don't have to do too much of anything. And I'm a DIYer, so I can go in and fix it myself. You know, maybe I want to go to school for journalism. Maybe I want to go to law school. Maybe I want to go to film school. It's really allowed me, these tiny houses and this property has really been a game changer. And I'm not sitting here as this ridiculously wealthy real estate guy.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.